All right, we're going to get started here in the Sooners Extra postgame podcast after OU's season opening 73-0 win over Arkansas State. I'm Ryan Aber, joined by Justin Martinez. Hopefully we'll have Joe Masato here pretty shortly. But Justin, just about everything the Sooners could have hoped for to start a season with so many question marks going in. We're a long way toward answering all those questions, but through one game, certainly a lot of positive signs.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there were a lot of question marks heading into this one. Are there going to be enough playmakers when it comes to the receivers? We had a bunch of guys making plays, whether it was Andrew Anthony, whether it was Jaden Gibson, Nick Anderson, Gavin Freeman. But look at the defense. You know, are they going to be able to get pressure? Are they going to be able to show improvement at, like, the linebacker position? Well, they go ahead and they shut out Arkansas State, which obviously isn't the biggest test. But still, I mean, this is about as good as you could hope for a season opener. So it's definitely something to be happy about.
Yeah, you start off with the defense there, and Joe Masato is on now. Hopefully he can jump on here as a speaker. But I think, to me, the most encouraging sign on defense was just how many guys were in there. I think they said they had 44 guys that played on defense, four full lines, basically. 25 of those recorded at least one tackle, nobody with more than four tackles. But just the depth that they showed. And again, this is Arkansas State. This isn't Texas. This isn't, you know, some of the other teams. Heck, this isn't even SMU, who the Sooners will face next week. But it's a good first step. Joe, you wrote about OU's defense today. What to you was the most impressive thing about what Ted Roof's group was able to do on that side of the ball? We'll try to get Joe in here as a speaker here in a second. But the only bad thing about today was some of the injuries. Desan McCullough was banged up early in the game. Drake Stoops, the receiver, had a fantastic first 7 minutes of the game left. Luckily, it sounds like, at least in Drake's case, that wasn't as big a deal as maybe it could have been, more precautionary than anything. I saw him in the third quarter pulling his arm out of his sling and shaking it a little bit, which was encouraging after some fear that maybe he had broken a collarbone or something like that. But he was able to, or sounds like he'll be able to play maybe not immediately, but in the near future. Brent Venables said it was an AC sprain. Joe, but going back to you, the question about defense, now that you're on here as a speaker, what was the most impressive thing to you about that side of the ball?
Yeah, sorry for the technical difficulties, but hopefully you can hear me loud and clear now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so was really impressed, you know, by the defense today. You know, one of the messages afterward from Brent Venables and Ted Roof, they talked a lot about cohesion, and you know, the linebackers really spoke to that afterward, all being on the same page, all being more comfortable in year two of the scheme now. And I thought it really showed, like, you know, they didn't always get great pressure on Arkansas State's quarterback, but at the same time, they you know, kept everything in front of them. The front played really well. Arkansas State couldn't get anything going in the run game. And yeah, just a dominant effort on the part of the defense.
Yeah, and Joe, you mentioned the pressure numbers, maybe not what they would have liked, but they talked about that a little bit. Ted Roof brought it up. You were around some more of the defensive players than I was afterwards, but Ted Roof said that a lot of that was what Arkansas State was doing protection-wise, with eight guys in protection and making it a lot more difficult for them to get after the quarterback than they would have liked. Of course, the trade-off of that is it makes life easier on the back end for those guys, and certainly that showed with how little Arkansas State was able to move the football.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, even more impressive that they, you know, was you know, before the game, I think Arkansas State, you know, felt pretty good about its offensive line. So I thought it was something, you know, like that. And, you know, they were scheming it up differently. But even without getting a ton of pressure, you know, like I said, everyone kept plays in front of them. They gave up a few big plays through the passing game. But I think Ted Roof said afterward, there was really only one break that they weren't real happy with. But, yeah, I thought – the coverage was strong throughout. They didn't miss many tackles today, Ryan, and that was really good to see. So the defense played physical, and, you know, anytime you can get a shutout, that's huge.
Yeah, a really, really impressive performance today from the defense. Again, there are going to be things that – there are going to be games that are going to challenge them a whole lot more than today. But when you're playing against an overmatched opponent, this is what a team like the OU should do. And they were able to do that today. So, you know, again, we'll see where this goes from here. But early returns, very good. Let's go over to the offensive side of the ball. Joe, we'll stick with you. I think Justin's having a little bit of those technical difficulties right now. But on offense, you've got to start with the quarterbacks. We knew that we would likely get a glimpse of Jackson Arnold. We got that really early, coming out right after halftime. But let's start with Dylan Gabriel. I thought he was fantastic today, going 19 to 22, 308 yards, a couple of touchdowns. But it wasn't just the numbers. It was the way that he did it was much more efficient, much better decision-making, much less hesitation, controlled the tempo of the game when they needed to speed it up, when they needed to slow it down, and just much more crisp than we saw him a lot last year.
Yeah, I thought he was in total command of the offense, made some really pretty throws, looked comfortable, was really spreading it around. You know, and I thought that kind of set the tone for the day. I mean, 19 to 22 puts up big numbers. Also, you know, created some for himself in the run game. Had a 10-yard scramble, which then set up another 5-yard scramble to get into the end zone there. But yeah, you know, I would encourage everyone to read your story that is soon to be posted or already posted. But it was kind of the best of both worlds for OU fans today. I mean, first you got to look at the present quarterback who played great. And as you wrote about, Sooner fans got a nice look at what seems to be a very bright future in Jackson Arnold.
Yeah, and Justin, we'll bring you back in. Sticking with Dylan Gabriel, to you, you watched him play all of last year. What was the most impressive piece of what Dylan Gabriel was able to do today?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys touched on it. It was just the efficiency, you know. It didn't seem like he was forcing anything. There were a few, you know, questionable decisions last year, whether it was just, you know, trying to put a ball in a place that maybe was just a little too tight of coverage. I thought he just made really good decisions throughout the entire game. I mean, it helped out that he also was, you know, getting a lot of protection from the offensive line. I think they did pretty well. So he definitely had his time to make his decisions. And I think he just executed it really well. You know, the short game was looking good. He had a couple of deep passes as well. It was just one of those games where it seemed like everything was working for him.
Yeah, and Justin alludes to it right there. I thought the offensive line was fantastic today. They were able to protect both Dylan Gabriel and Jackson Arnold really well, keep them from getting sacks, but also the way that they were able to open up things in the run game. As OU used a deep stable of running backs today with Javonte Barnes and Tawee Walker, Marcus Major, and even down to Dalen Smothers and Caleb Hicks. Caleb Hicks getting his first collegiate touchdown. And it wasn't just that starting five. They went deeper than that. We saw Troy Everett early in the game. We saw Jake Taylor for a series early in the game. And that's something they're going to need here early in the season when it's as hot as it was today to rotate a little bit, but also to figure out exactly what they've got with, you know, some of those guys that maybe aren't at the top of the depth chart, but certainly that they've got to keep ready, Justin.
Yeah, you know, DeMarco Murray had talked about
earlier this offseason that they were really looking for a bell cow running back, you know, someone to get most of their carries. But I really do think that, you know, just based off of what we've seen so far, it seems like it is going to be by committee. There's a lot of guys who can contribute and really in different ways. You know, Javonte Barnes, definitely somebody who could be more of like a, you know, a physical back, an every down back. He definitely is capable of that. But then you also got some other guys like Tawie Walker is really good. You know, especially like he's got the pass catching option as well. Marcus Major is just a really solid veteran, someone who's been around for a while. It just seems like they have a little bit of everything. You got the young guys as well, Dalen Smothers too. We didn't even see Gavin Sawchuk today, who also figures to have a really big role. So it just seems like there's a lot of guys here who can contribute in the backfield, even if it's not going to be like a Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray, for example, who's taking most of the snaps. There's going to be a lot of guys doing a little bit of everything here.
Yeah, Joe, I still think that ultimately in the end, Javonte Barnes and Gavin Sawchuk are going to be the one and two running backs, even if the depth chart didn't show that going into today. But certainly some encouraging signs there with Tawie Walker, who we've heard a ton about in preseason, and you wondered if that was just sort of given a walk-on, you know, a little bit of shine as he's done everything that he's been asked to do. But certainly the returns were good for him. And then, you know, Javonte Barnes, a solid performance. And then getting a glimpse at some of those guys that maybe aren't going to have the biggest role this year, but are going to be asked to shoulder a much bigger load next year and beyond.
Yeah, I was probably, you know, I agree with you how you kind of set up what that running back room is looking like. But I was probably most impressed with Barnes. But like you were saying, it was such a hot day that, you know, not only because of the scoreboard, you have to rotate in and out a lot, but also when the weather's like this, like you want to keep guys fresh. And obviously that's a pretty deep room. And just to go back to the offensive line real quick, like, yeah, they opened up big lanes in the running game. Pass protection was phenomenal. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Aber, but I don't think the Sooners did not allow a sack, and I don't even think they allowed a quarterback hurry. So they put Dylan Gabriel, Jackson Arnold in just an ideal position, helped out those running backs. So it was really a team effort on the offensive.
Yeah, that's looking at the list right now. Actually, neither team had a quarterback hurry there. Obviously, OU's, I think, protection scheme was a little bit different than what Arkansas State was using, but some really encouraging signs from that line. Now, Joe, sticking with you, let's move on to Jackson Arnold and what we saw from him. You know, getting into the game in an ideal position for what Jeff Lebby and Brent Venables wanted to ease him into things, throw him out there at the start of the second half. They were up 45-0, no pressure on him, but even with that, I thought Jackson Arnold handled that moment and his opportunity beautifully.
Yeah, he did nothing to slow the hype train. He was tremendous, and I thought it was funny when he was talking post-game. He said that he was surprised he wasn't more nervous. So, I mean, part of it is coming in, you know, knowing you're not going to be, you know, taking those first snaps and also walking into a game that's already firmly in hand. So it's a pretty good position, but what a spot to ease him into. And, you know, he took full advantage of it. He played great. And, you know, like I said, with your story, you really outlined it well. Like, everyone has to be thrilled with how Dylan Gabriel played today, but you got that glimpse into the future and, you know, quite a steady sample of it. So that was really cool to see.
Yeah, and Justin, you look at the third series that Jackson Arnold was into the game, and the first couple series had a lot of success, but it was sort of set up for a lot of success with the short throws, wasn't asked to do a whole lot, stretch the field, was kept really clean by that offensive line that we talked about. But on that third series, let Jackson Arnold run it a couple times early. He handed it off to Dalen Smothers. They used some more like power type formations. And Jeff Lebby said he wanted to sort of get Jackson Arnold dirty a little bit. And not only did Arnold handle that fantastically, certainly you want to avoid injuries, but needed to get into the flow of the physical side of the game. He did that and then scored a touchdown to cap off the drive. So I thought maybe that was the most impressive series that Jackson Arnold had.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, like you said, at a certain point at the beginning, you're obviously going to play it a little bit safe, ease him into things. But, you know, he let one fly with Jaden Gibson, which was a really well-thrown ball, a great catch by Jaden as well. And then, like you said, he was running the ball, which it seems like, you know, he was really looking forward to. He had mentioned after the game that very early in his football career, he was even playing a little bit of running back. He actually really likes running the ball. Obviously, he's a physical guy. He's got good size, good strength. So definitely something that suits his style of play. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like he really just handled everything that was thrown at him very well. Like I said, it does help that it wasn't much of a pressure situation, but everything that he was asked to do, he did it.
Yeah, and going to a question that was thrown out on Twitter by Tim, said, is it true that OU lost the sellout streak today? It's not. The announced attendance, 83,221. OU's 147th straight sellout of originally scheduled home games. You have to include that because they had that game against Tulane a couple of years ago that got moved to Norman from New Orleans and didn't have that attendance, full attendance, as they it was just announced just a couple days right before the game that was going to be the case. But they did keep the attendance streak intact. But, Joe, it cleared out of there fairly quickly, and it's hard to blame folks with how warm things were today.
Yeah, listen, I gave the crowd a C in my report card, but I'm already regretting it because I was hot myself and I was not sitting outside. So, yeah, it was understandable given the scoreboard, 45-0 at halftime, and the heat that the crowd did clear out. But, you know, the ones that stuck it out through the end, they were there to cheer on General Booty as he got the call, and that was the highlight. That was the award for staying throughout the game.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the way it happened with Davis Bevel getting banged up there a little bit before that, we'll see how he is, if he's able to return fairly quickly. But certainly with Jackson Arnold as the backup quarterback, they feel still a whole lot better about their quarterback depth than they did a year ago. Justin, though, sticking with the heat, I thought maybe one of the biggest differences between the teams today, outside of just the physicality and the skill on the OU side as compared to Arkansas State's, was the conditioning factor. And it seemed like every couple plays there was an Arkansas State guy going down with a cramp, going down with some kind of minor injury. With OU, you didn't see that a whole lot. There were a couple. It certainly happened, but it seemed like overall OU really handled the conditions today well, and I think that maybe shows off some of that competitive depth that we've heard so much about over these last few months.
Yeah, definitely shows off the competitive depth. It also shows, you know, the working with Schmitty in the offseason. I can't even say how many times we heard a player talk about Schmitty and how much he's really helped put them in the best shape that they've been in, you know, throughout their career. So that's definitely something you could see really had a positive effect today. Because like you said, there definitely were a lot of Arkansas State players who were going down and not so much OU, even though it was brutally hot. I was telling Joe, every time I think I miss going to like a game as a fan, I realize just how much I don't want to be out there in the sun. Like, we have it pretty good in the press box. So yeah, it's it was definitely tough conditions, but you could tell that the work in the offseason, the depth, all of that really did help give OU a good edge.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Joe, as you were going through technical difficulties, and I was just basically filibustering there to get you back on, talked about the injuries a little bit. Obviously, Drake Stoops, the one that really stands out. It didn't seem like Brent Venables was as concerned about that one as maybe we thought at the time, although we'll see how long that ultimately winds up keeping him out for. But a couple of key ones with Drake Stoops going down and then Desan McCullough on the other side, came back with a boot on his left leg, I believe it was. So those were about the only negatives to come out of today.
Yeah, and you know we'll see on those. With Drake Stoops, he was playing so well too. Before he went out with that injury, he was like Dylan Gabriel's favorite target early on. Got that first touchdown. So that would obviously be a big loss if he's not able to go in the next couple of weeks, but might not be something severe. So I guess TBD on that.
Yeah, but just in the wide receiver core. You lose Drake Stoops, but still, Andrell Anthony has a really strong start, especially Gavin Freeman did some really good things. We haven't even talked about the 82-yard punt return touchdown for him, but Gavin Freeman did some good things offensively. But both quarterbacks were really able to spread it around with Jaden Gibson breaking through and having some big catches, including the touchdown catch from Jackson Arnold in the second half. We saw Nick Anderson, L.V. Bunkley Shelton, some of those running backs get some run. Heck, Blake Smith had a big 28-yard catch there near the end of the first half to put Dylan Gabriel over 300. Still got a lot to learn about these receivers and where how everything winds up shaking out. But maybe outside of only seeing a couple of catches for not a lot of yards on – Jahlil Farouk, signs look pretty positive in that group that entered with so many questions.
Yeah, I mean, also, Jaquizz Petaway as well did really well, caught 9 of the 10 passes thrown his way. I mean, there were just a lot of guys who stepped up. And I feel like we keep going back to it. Obviously, it's not the best competition. It's against a team like Arkansas State. So we'll see how this receivers group will actually fare in Big 12 play, for example. But as far as today's concerned, I mean, they did exactly what you would want for them. They managed to haul in a lot of passes, deep down the field, which is something that they didn't get a lot of last season. They showed their depth. Their young guys seem to really take a step in the right direction. Guys like Nick Anderson, guys like Jaden Gibson. Gavin Freeman seems to be a really dynamic playmaker as well, both on special teams and on the offense. So, I mean, overall, it just seems like, a lot of guys stepped up for them, and we'll just see if they'll be able to carry this over into the rest of the season.
And let's wrap this up with this. Justin, I'll stick with you for the first answer on this one. We started to get a lot of answers today about a lot of the off-season questions. Obviously, a lot of those we'll still have some time with. Going into next week, going into the game against SMU, what is maybe the one thing that you're most wanting to see out of this team, whether it's an area, a person, whatever, what do you most need to see next week against the Mustangs that advances the thought on this team forward?
I mean, the defensive line has to get pressure. They got to get sacks. Obviously, they didn't have a lot of opportunities in this game just because, Arkansas State was kind of getting the ball out real quick. But that's going to be the big thing for them. That was a big question mark last season, a big struggle for them last season. They retooled the defensive line this offseason, bringing in a lot of newcomers, guys who can make an impact. But we just got to see that result in actual sacks tomorrow or next week.
And then what about you, Joe?
Yeah, I think that's a good one for sure. More generally, though, with the defense to string together back-to-back good performances, the level of competition is going to take a step up. So I'm intrigued to see how they respond. And then on the offensive end, we just talked about the receivers. I'm curious just to see who emerges from this pack because there were so many guys involved, and it's good to have that many options. But whether it's Jaden Gibson, Andrell Anthony, like there's some guys who are going to emerge as key contributors on this team, and I'm excited to see which one of those or which group of guys kind of emerge as the favorite target.
Yeah, I think right there with you on both of those answers, Justin and Joe. I think the defensive line needs to get some pressure, more pressure next week, and show that they can be a disruptive force. The receiving core continues to evolve. I think for me, I circled Jahlil Farouk as a guy we need to see more of. He was only targeted twice today, didn't have any catches. I think he needs to play a significant role for this wide receiver group. Whether he's the number one wide receiver or not, he needs to be right there in the center of things. And then, you know, another one I throw out is just getting a little bit of idea what the punting situation is going to be like. There were three oars on the depth chart and only one opportunity today for those punters. Josh Plaster, the transfer from Arizona State, who came along with Michael Turk a couple years ago, just the one punt for 50 yards. So a good performance from him. But we'll see if those other guys, Luke Elzinga included, get an opportunity to next week. I know Brent Venables and Jeff Levy and probably a whole lot of other people wouldn't complain if they didn't, but you're going to need those guys down the road, and it'll be interesting to see who winds up emerging there. But we're going to wrap it up here on the Sooners Extra post-game podcast / Twitter Spaces. Thank you so much for joining us. You can check out our coverage every day in the Oklahoman or at oklahoman.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere. Have a great weekend.